All right, we'll take our Bibles now. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you now in this time that you would, Lord, that you would help us as we spend time talking about things and studying your word. And Lord, we ask for your wisdom and we ask for your guidance now in this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This past Christmas Day, December 25th, NASA launched the James Webb Space Telescope, and they launched it from French Guiana. And so they launched this massive telescope out into space, and it was traveling almost 1,000,000 miles away, and it finally reached its destination on January 24th. So it took it almost a month, which, I mean, 1,000,000 miles in all of almost a month. That's pretty good, right? Anyways, it got out there and it's begun to like unpack itself and like all the stuff that goes into it. This is amazing. But they sent it out there because they're wanting to get like photos back of things that they cannot see from where we are, right? With the telescopes that we have, even as massive as they are, they cannot see as far as this one is going to be able to see. And so their mission in all of this is to take pictures of planets and stars and galaxies that really they have not been able to see yet. And its whole mission is to take things that are not visible to us, that we cannot see, and make them visible, taking the invisible and making it visible. For another example of this, there's a range of mountains in Japan. They're known as the Japanese Alps. Mount Fuji is part of that mountain range. And in that mountain range, there's a mine, an old mine that used to be there. And what they've done, scientists have taken that old mine, and inside that, they have built a building-sized machine. And the name of this machine is the Kamioka Liquid Scintillator Antineutrino Detector. And the point of this, the purpose of this, is to detect antineutrinos. It's right in the name. I don't know that it makes it any clearer for me. But neutrinos are basically, they're like subatomic particles. And there's like billions of them that are passing through like all matter. They're just flying around everywhere, I guess. I'm probably doing a horrible job explaining what they are. But I mean, that's kind of the idea. And so they built it there because it's in proximity to some of the nuclear reactors that are over there in Japan. And what it does is it detects things that they cannot see, right? Even with microscopes, like small things, they've found a way to use this machine to show them things that they could not see before, taking that which is invisible and making it visible. And then we look at us as a church and say, you know what? That's really our job too, isn't it? To take an invisible God and make him visible to this world. To take what we've seen about God and to show people. Right, that's our responsibility as a church, to show God to this world. And really, it has to be us. It has to be the church, believers that do this. I mean, we look at Hollywood and like the film industry and all of that, and they portray God, right? And so they make these shows and movies that do nothing more than ridicule who God is. And they portray God as something that's man-made, or they put their own spin on it, whatever they come up with, and something they could just be laughed at, right? Or it's just, the name of God is just something that they use as a curse word. And if that can't be the only place that this world gets a view of God, because that is not going to do it. That's not going to cut it. It has to be us, the church, right? It has to be us as believers, because we know who God is. We've come to an understanding from the Word of God, and we have seen who God is, not just from the Word of God, but also then how he's changed us, right? We've seen what God has done in our life. And so the world needs to know that then. What we've seen of God, the world needs to see that. And by and large, they're going to see that through us, right? Through how we live our life and the things that we do. And there's so much that we could talk about that we've seen about who God is, right? All that we've learned. But if we just kind of narrow it down to two major things, right, two things that are really there in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. If we just talk about the love of God and the giving of God, we find out so much about who God is. But the world needs to see from us that God loves people. The love that God has for them and for the entire world. And what's interesting is, when we think about God's love, really it could have just been contained within the Godhead, right? God could have been a loving God and loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father, and they loved the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God loved the Father. And if that's what he had done, he still would have been a loving God. But instead, God chose to reach out with his love, reach out to the world and reach out to you and to me. And when we study the love of God and we see it in the Word of God, how God has reached out to us, we see that it's a love that disregards race and gender and countries and all the borders that mean and all the boxes that we put in people into that mean so much to us. God's love reached past all of that to just love the world, every single person in the world. And it really even reached beyond our sinfulness, because that's who we were, right? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. I mean, it reached past our sinfulness, that we had defied God and rebelled against God and cursed the name of God and all of that. And God's love reached past that to all of us. And we've seen that. As believers, we've seen the love of God. But now we look and say, okay, we need to show that to the world. We need to show that to our community. They need to see what we've seen, that God loves them. So there's the love of God, but also if we just kind of narrow it down to two, there'd be the love of God. And then we've also learned that God gives, that he's a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. And the greatest picture of the love of God that gave was Jesus Christ, that he gave his son on the cross for us. And Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul said, how do I really describe it? How can I accurately and fully describe what God has given? And Paul came to the conclusion, he says, I can't, so I'll just call it the unspeakable gift, right? And God has given to us. He reached out in his love to give to us. And we've seen that. And we've understood that. And we've seen God's loving and God's giving to us. And now we say, okay, how do I show that to the community? I need to show that to those around me. And so you and I, we know this about God. And so in Matthew chapter 5, our passage, we're charged with showing that. In verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And one of the ways we're charged to do that in verse 16 is through our good works, or the way we live our life, the things that we do, because those are a big testimony to who God is. And people see so much about who God is just by how we live as members of Lakes Pond Baptist Church and as people who are Christians. They look at us and that's how they see God, is through the things that we do. And so the question that I've been asking is, all right, how do we do this, right? If we're responsible as a church to show God to our community, how can we really show them that God cares? How can we show them the love of God? How can we show them that God gives? And through that, all the other things about God, his grace and his mercy, his patience, his goodness, long suffering, and all of these things. How can we as a church really do that right here where we are? And of course, our answer is always is found in what Jesus Christ did, right? It's always found in Jesus Christ and in who he is. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter he's talking, and one of the things he mentions is what Jesus Christ did. And he kind of sums up a lot of what Jesus Christ did just in the simple phrase that he went about doing good. He went about doing good. And as we study the life of Jesus Christ, we see so much that he did that was a deliberate means to showing the Father to them. Because remember, Philip asked, he said, Lord, will you show us the Father and it sufficeth us? And you remember what Jesus said? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He didn't say he that hath heard me hath heard about the Father. He looked at Philip and said, if you have seen me, you've seen the things that I've done, how I've treated people, all the miracles that I've done, and all my actions. He says, you have seen the Father by seeing me. And that's what Jesus Christ did. I mean, he showed how God loved by him loving. And he showed how God gave by him giving. And that's really the model that we want to take, is what Jesus Christ did. And he took an interest in the multitudes, all the people and their lives and their struggles and their needs and all of those sorts of things. He took an interest in that, and he went to meet those needs, right? To show them who the Father was, so that when they saw Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they would say, okay, I know who the Father is because I see how Jesus Christ lives his life. And that's the model for us. Teddy Roosevelt once said, he said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we can spend all the time in the world telling people how much God cares, but it really doesn't mean as much until they can see how much we care for them, because we are a representative of God. We are Christians, right? We have God's reputation upon us. It was back in the end of September, we did the Sharing Our Faith conference. And one of the things we did was in the afternoons, we went out and we would go to New London and pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. And we were handing out little tracts that said, Jesus loves you. And so there was one of those afternoons I was out there, and I was down on State Street, the top there, with some other people, and just handing out those tracts saying, here, want to let you know Jesus loves you, right? Real, real simple. And there was a lady who was coming down the street, and I handed her that little card, and I said, I just want you to let you know Jesus loves you. And she looked at me, and she said, how can Jesus love me if my son just got diagnosed with cancer? And that was what she said. And I said something to her, and she kept going, but Jack Malerba was right there. And he stepped up to her, and he just asked her about her son, right? That was his response to this. And I can't remember all that he said, but he said something about, like, how is your son doing? Tell me about your son. Tell me about what he's going through, what you're going through. And he spent time listening to her, and the conversation went on from there. Well, she just walked right past me, didn't want to hear anything. Yeah, because he took a moment, Jack took a moment to care about the needs of her life. He was able to talk more about her. And really, instead of just saying, Jesus loves you, which we did, he went on to show her that Jesus cared because he cared. As a representative of Jesus Christ, he showed her how much God cared because he took time to care about what she was going through. And as we asked really that question of how are we going to do this, we come down to seeing Jesus Christ's example, and his approach was, I'm going to tell you how much Jesus loves you, but I'm also going to back that up by showing you. I'm going to show you how much I care for you. And that's what we want our approach to be. So the question is, how are we going to put this into action, right? How are we going to be able to reach out to this community and show them the love of God and show them that God gives them, really show them the heart of God toward them? And so we planned out a series of opportunities for us to be able to do that, to show the heart of God to our community and to the people around us, and to communicate to them what we have seen about the fact that God loves and the fact that God gives. And so we're going to make an effort to not just tell them, but also to show them who God is. And so we're going to call it Reach Out 2022. All right? And so with the intention of really going to the community first, right? Before we wait for them to come to us, before we wait for them to come and ask us about God, we're going to go to the community and just show them Jesus Christ, show them the love of Christ, and show them how God gives. Reaching out to the world as Jesus Christ reached out to the world. And so we've planned three major opportunities and some other little ones, but mainly these three that we're going to talk about tonight that we planned. The first is that we're going to plan to do a partner with the Red Cross to host a blood drive on June 16th. It was the beginning of this year, the Red Cross put out a press release. In the press release, they said, listen, we are facing our first ever blood donation crisis, where they say since the start of the pandemic, donations of giving blood have really gone down by 10%, right? And so they said it's a crisis. We don't have enough blood donated for the things that we need. And there's some people that with the diseases that they have and the conditions that they have, they need regular blood transfusions, right? They need them on a regular basis. And doctors say they're at the point where they have to decide who gets a blood transfusion and who has to wait. And some of them, they say, you need it immediately, we'll give it to you immediately. And that means, because we don't have enough, other people have to wait. And there's people with diseases, and they mentioned some of the stories, I'm not going to mention them, of people who they're scheduled for a blood transfusion on the day that they need it, but then they get there and they say, well, we don't have enough, so you're going to have to wait. And because they have to wait 2 or 3 days, it means they have to be hospitalized because it's that big of an issue for them. And so there's this need, and they need people that are just out of willing to volunteer to donate blood because they can't be manufactured. They can't even really stockpile it for long, right? It has to be donated and then used. So they have a need for people to donate blood. They also have a need for places to host a blood drive. And I had a meeting with them. This was a couple weeks ago, after we started the application process for this, just to see if our fellowship hall would work. They need a kind of a large room, and it has to, you know, certain size, has to have enough lighting and just different things. So they came by to check and make sure our facility is good enough. And they penciled us in for June 16th. It's a Thursday. It'll be from 1 to 6 p.m. And so really what we need is we need us to volunteer to donate blood, kind of just as like a guarantee that we have enough people that are willing to give. We're planning to reach out beyond us, okay? But what they need is they need at least a guarantee that we have enough people that it's not going to be a waste of their time to come and set up all of their things. All right, so in a minute, I'm going to ask for a raise of hands of people who would be willing to volunteer to donate blood. There are some restrictions. You have to be 17 years of age or older. You can be 16. You just need parental permission. And there's a form you can fill out on their website that you'll fill out ahead of time to be able to do that. So 17 years of age or older, you have to weigh at least 110 pounds and be generally in good health. So that's kind of the basic. They do other testing, I think, when you get there and check like iron levels and different things. But that's just the general baseline, right? To just not saying that you're going to be able to, but you're just willing to show up and be like, let's see if I can do this. Close my eyes because I don't want to see the needle. I'm going to turn away. I'm going to, you know, hope I don't pass out, you know, but I'm willing to just show up and be willing to volunteer because we need to have a certain number. I think they said like 25 to be able to kind of put this on their schedule that they can do a blood drive here. And so how many of you would volunteer? Say, I'll be willing to. All right, hold your hands up. We're going to take a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. All right, you can put your hands down. Crystal, write that down, 30. I was going to have Erica do it. She's, I think, in nursery. Also, if you're watching online and you want to be able to donate blood, you said, I'm going to do that. Text me, text Erica or Norm. I'll put his number out there too. And then they'll let us know and we'll add you to that count. All right, so that's just to confirm that we have enough. so let's see, we're also going to need people to help staff the blood drive. They said we can bring the volunteers to do that, or you can supply people that can help staff it. You will not be taking blood, okay? You're not going to be the person that does that. It's simply to do the registration table. And they said it's simple. They tell you how to do it. It's not difficult. You just sit there at a table for your shift and check people in and all of that. And also to staff the canteen. They provide like snacks for afterwards, which I'm looking forward to. You know, hey, the food, you know. And so they provide that. And it's just, you know, after you give blood, you're probably a little weaker and you need to get some food in you or whatever. And so just somebody that can staff that. And again, we'll get into all of this more as the time gets closer, right? We're still a ways out from this. This is just to let you all know about that. But then also, we want to sign other people up to do this, right? Because really, we're trying to reach out to our community. And you know, there's probably a lot of people that if you invited them to our building for a revival service or an evangelistic service, they'll be like, no way, I'm coming to that. But maybe they'll come here to a blood drive and they'll be like, yeah, you know, I'll show up to give blood. And then we get to meet them as a church, maybe get to know them, and just start to build a relationship while showing them that we care, and we care because God cares. And so there's, when they set all of this up, they set it up online, and there's an online portal where you can go and sign up. And also you can then refer people to that, and they'll sign up online. We'll get have cards made up that have all that information that you can go and pass those out at work, family, neighborhood, wherever. And again, it's, yes, we took account for us, and yes, we'll volunteer to donate blood, but we're really trying to reach out and just have an opportunity to say, to show the community that we care because God cares. That's our purpose in all of that. If you want to know more information about all of this, you can go to the Red Cross website. They've got a full PDF that talks about running a blood drive if you want to dive into all of that. But again, as dates go by and deadlines and things, we'll talk to you more about that and what else you can do in signing up for all of that. But again, it's just a chance for us to show the love of God and the care of God to our community, and an opportunity for us to maybe start conversations with people, invite people here, just to build relationships. All right, so that's the first thing that we'll be doing as we reach out. The second thing we're going to be doing, the second opportunity, is we're gonna donate school supplies in the fall. We reached out to a school in the area, but before I get into that, there was a report that a foundation put out, the Kids in Need Foundation, in 2020. And in that report from, 2 years ago at this point, they said that 90% of teachers say that most of their kids arrive to school without all of their school supplies. So there's a vast number of kids that show up at school without the things that they need really to learn and to learn well. And another 94% of teachers say that most do not have adequate supplies at home to do their schoolwork. And one of the issues is that a kid shows up to school and they've said at this date you need to have, you know, you need to have this supply by this date. And the kid either won't show up to school that day, or they'll skip that class because they're just embarrassed. They're embarrassed that they don't have the supply, or maybe their parents haven't provided it. Maybe they don't have the money or whatever, right? And all of a sudden, like, we say, well, it's the decisions of the parents, and it is, but it falls upon these kids. It falls upon these young kids who then don't have the things that they need for their schools. And then it winds up that teachers end up having to pay for school supplies, and it really just, it hurts the kids' education. And also, though, it creates a lot of inequality between like economic classes, right? You have the kids whose parents can afford at all, and they do, and then you have the kids that can't, and they show up to school, and now there's this really obvious sign that they are poor and that they're not like the other kids who have everything or have the nice things, right? It just creates that difficult situation for this young child who's going to school. And so we reached out to Oswegatchie Elementary School, which is over there on Boston Post Road. We reached out to them with the idea of doing this, and other places do this as well. But they were really so grateful and thankful when we reached out to them. And we talked to them about if we could have a date when it would be good for us to do that in the fall. And they said, well, we're not sure yet because we're not sure when school starts next year in the fall. We're trying to get through this year. I think we all are. And so they said, we don't know yet, but we'll contact you when school gets out in June, and then we'll have a better idea of when exactly in the fall. Last year, their school started on September 1st. So we're kind of considering probably it's going to be the end of August, right? Sometime the end of August, we'll kind of start gathering things. But, I mean, it's something that we can start putting away things for now, right? As you, excuse me, as you find sales and things like that. Back to school sales, they haven't started yet, have they? I hope not. And so they'll give us a list of things that they're looking for, but it's an elementary school, so it's generally all the same. You can go online and find those things. They say the number one supply, though, that they need when you find online is that they need pencils, right? Just basic pencils, and then it's like it's plain paper after that and some other things. But you can go online if you want to ahead of time and excuse me, just find out the things that the supplies that schools need. And so we're able to do this. And again, it's just a chance for us to be a testimony to our community, right? And show people that as a church, we love and we care enough to give because God has loved us and God cared enough about us to give. And so it's just another opportunity for us to reach out to them and have opportunities to build relationships and show the heart of God to our community. So we're going to do that. And then the third thing that we're going to plan on doing is around Christmas time, we want to donate gifts to like families that are hospitalized. And around Christmas time, it's a very difficult time to be hospitalized. Has anybody been hospitalized over Christmas? I don't know, but I can imagine that that's just a horrible time to be stuck in the hospital. You know, number one, you're missing out on a lot of things, right? All the family celebrations you had planned and all of that. And then you have like the medical bills and just the stress of your health and just so many things that come upon a person when they have to be hospitalized. And especially we would like to try and focus on little kids, on kids that have been hospitalized, but also expanding that to families as well. Initially, the plan was for us to be able to get gifts and then go into the hospital, hand them out. I was hoping we could do it kind of room to room and, you know, hand them a gift and be like, can I pray for you? Right? Can I just take the time? What's going on? Can I pray for you? And be able to do that with the pandemic. I'm sure you all are aware that that's probably not going to happen. And they said they don't do that. Now, I mean, we're a ways out from Christmas. Things could change, right? And maybe, but we could pray toward that end. But they said they do still allow people to give, right? And to give, but then they have to go in and pass them out. And so we asked about if we could like package them or wrap them with like a note that says like a verse on it and that says Lakes Pond Baptist Church cares because God cares, some message that we could then share with them. And they're going to check into that. They're not sure about us including they called it an inspirational note, which it is, right? What's more inspirational than the Word of God, the gospel? So we're trying to do that in some form. And just to let you know, they said it would have to be like new and packaged things for kids, right? No, nothing used, nothing, you know, that you find in your basement or anything, unless it's brand new. Also, no stuffed animals because of all the dust and things that gets trapped in those. And then for adults, they said it's really clothing. Like it's socks and underwear and just articles of clothing because they will have people come in that what they're wearing is really all they have. And then they have to like cut it away or it's bloodstained or whatever and they have to get rid of it. And it's just nice for someone to be able to give something to them, right? And so it's an opportunity that we have to just, again, to just show the love of Jesus Christ. And we look at all of these ways and we say, it's not the traditional way of giving out the gospel, right? But it is us showing Jesus Christ, and it's us starting to lay a foundation of good works, letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, and through that then glorify our Father, which is in heaven. It's not about them glorifying Lakes Pond Baptist Church so much, but it kind of is in the sense that that's how they see God, is through us as a church. They see Lakes Pond Baptist Church as representatives of who God is. And so it is, our testimony is important. Our reputation as a church is important. But ultimately, we're saying we want God to be glorified. Now, there are some other things that that we're going to do. And hopefully, we'll add some smaller things. In Baptist Bible Academy, we're going to get them involved. Some of their, like, there's a class they do on Friday where they do little projects. And they've already started making up some snacks with a note and a verse that they're going to give out to teachers in Waterford Public Schools. They're going to do that same thing for the, hopefully for the police department and the fire department. Just, you know, sharing a verse and something that'll get them to read the verse, you know, because they want to get to the snack behind the verse. But you know what? It doesn't, even as we try and reach out, right, with this purpose, it doesn't have to be that it's always, you know, an organized church event. It can just be something you do as your family. Say, all right, how can I reach out to show Jesus Christ, show that he loves and show that he cares to our community. And we're praying that God uses this, right? In all the things that we do, we want it to be Christ through us. And we need to bathe all of this in prayer, that God would use this, because God's able to do things that we cannot even begin to understand with all of this. And this is just our feeble efforts. Say, let's try this. And then we say, well, let's see what God can do. Because we serve a God that's far powerful, more powerful than any of us. And God's able to do great things beyond what we can even begin to understand. So I would ask you to be praying about this. Be praying for the community, the people that we're going to be able to reach out to. Be praying for us as a church, and be praying, most of all, what we want is for people to get saved. Right? That is the destination in all of this, is to see people get saved. That's what we're trying to do in all of that. So be praying for that. And you know, when people ask us, and when they see us doing these things or whatever it is that we're trying to do as we reach out, when people say, why is your church doing this? Our answer is going to be, we're doing this because God has done this for us. Right? That's our answer. That's what it comes down to. And they say, why is your church hosting a blood drive? Why is your church giving to schools or giving to the hospital or whatever? We say, because God has given to us. We do this because this is who our God is. And it's always to point back to God and to be that testimony to who God is. So I trust you'll get involved in all of this. And as the events get closer, we're going to keep you updated on all the things that are going on. We'll let you know what you need to know and how you can then sign up for things and get involved. But I'm really excited about what God is able to do. He's kind of lined these things up and given us the idea for these things and then kind of set things in motion. It's going to be a good year. I'm excited about being able to do all of this. And I'm really excited to see what God is able to do through us and for our community. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this tonight. Lord, we're so thankful that you have loved us and that you've given yourself to us. And Lord, we just simply want to show that to this world, Lord, to show it to our community and show them we care because God cares. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open the doors for the gospel to go forth, Lord, for people to get saved, and that we would be a light to this community, Lord, that our towns and our neighborhoods would be impacted because of the gospel. And so, Lord, we ask for your wisdom, we ask for your strength, that you would open doors, that you would close the doors that you want to be closed, that you would guide us, and that you would give us your strength. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.